be helpful this morning if you have God's Word open in front of you at Hebrews chapter 1. And in particular, we come to look at verses 1 to 4. We're continuing our series in the Shorter Catechism. And most recently, we've been considering the saving work of Jesus Christ, how the eternal Son of God came to redeem us. That is, his coming to earth, going to the cross, dying in our place, his humiliation, but then also his rising from the dead and ascending into heaven, his exaltation. Jesus paid the price for our sin. He redeemed us. He is our Redeemer. This morning, as we continue this series in the Catechism, the question is being asked, in what ways is Jesus our Redeemer? And to answer this question, the Catechism goes back into the Old Testament. Listen to question 23 of the Shorter Catechism and then the following answer. What offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? Or in what ways is Jesus our Redeemer? The answer, Christ, as our Redeemer, executes the offices of a prophet, a priest, and of a king, both in his humiliation and exaltation. In asking in what ways is Jesus our Redeemer, the Catechism says the answer is found in the Old Testament roles of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king. They help us to understand how Jesus is our Savior. They help us to understand how Jesus has paid the price for our sin. They help us to understand redemption. This is the work that Jesus does. He serves as prophet, priest, and king. Our main passage that we're going to focus on this morning is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. The book of Hebrews is setting out for us how Jesus is superior to the Old Testament offices and sacrifices. They were all just shadows or pictures of what God the Father was going to do through God the Son. And in Hebrews, we find Jesus greater than the prophets, greater than the priests, greater than the Old Testament kings. Those things that were imperfect in the shadows of the old, Jesus displays in fullness in the new. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the first four verses, we are given seven ways that Jesus is superior or supreme. He's supreme over the prophets. In him, the radiance of God is made known. He's supreme over all things as creator and sustainer. He is supreme in that he is the radiance of the glory of God. He's supreme in that he upholds the universe. He is supreme in how he made purification for sin. He's supreme as he sits at the right hand of God the Father. He is supreme over all of heaven. In what way is Jesus our Redeemer? He is our Redeemer in that he is superior to the prophets. He reveals God to us. God has spoken through him, Hebrews says. He is our Redeemer in that he is the supreme or superior high priest, the one who reconciles us to God, the one who made purification for sin. And he is supreme as the superior king who rules over all, who has a name more excellent than all creation. So let's take the framework of the Shorter Catechism questions 23 to 26 this morning as we look at Jesus as our Redeemer, being a prophet, a priest, and a king. And firstly, we think about Christ Jesus reveals God to us. He reveals God to us. He is a prophet. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. The role of the prophet in the Old Testament was to be a mouthpiece for God. They were to reveal the will of God, to speak the word of God. Prophets like Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they declared God's word to his people. And thus they were declaring the very mind and the heart and the will of God. They revealed God's mind and will as God spoke through them. Verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The Old Testament prophets, they weren't the final and full revelation of God for humanity. They were not the end of God setting out his will and purpose in salvation. No, there was to be one more prophet. The final, complete, perfect prophet. And in fact, he was promised in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet." God promises that he's going to be sending one who will be the prophet, the full and final revelation of God. And now in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, we are being told that this prophet is none other than Jesus Christ, the full and final revelation of God the Father. Jesus is prophet who reveals to us the will and the purposes, the heart and the mind of God. The Shorter Catechism, answer 24, says, "As a prophet, Christ reveals the will of God to us for our salvation by his word and spirit." Through the preaching and the teaching of Jesus Christ, we're brought into contact with the will of God for salvation. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, preached about the kingdom of God. He tells us what it's like. He tells us who is in it. And he tells us how we get into the kingdom. We are to believe in him. We're to put our faith and trust in Jesus. We are to come to him who is the bread of life, the living water. Jesus teaches us that it is his body that will be broken for sin. He teaches us that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus' preaching and teaching makes clear that he and he alone is the way, the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by him. People marveled at Jesus' teaching and preaching when he was on earth. He taught as one who was full of authority. But of course he did. He is the Word of God who became flesh. He is the full revelation of God for salvation. He is prophet in that sense, supremely prophet. So friends, we are to listen to Jesus' word. If you want to know the way of salvation, if you want to know how to be saved, if you want to know what God's will is in salvation, Jesus Christ reveals it to us. He shows it to us. And what's more than that, Jesus is supremely prophet because he is the radiance of the glory of God. He reveals God to us by being the divine word who became flesh. Jesus is God in human form. The Son of God, who came down to earth, who took on our nature, but yet still fully God. And in Jesus Christ, we see God. He shows us what God is like. He reveals to us God's heart, God's plan of salvation. Jesus shows us God's heart and compassion for lost sinners, for the outcast, for the vulnerable, for the weak. Jesus, when he was on earth, shows us and reveals to us God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. Think of how he raised up the paralytic. And yet in doing so, he said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Jesus Christ reveals to us that there is forgiveness in him and through him. That there is life in Jesus Christ, who raised Lazarus from the dead and declared himself to be the resurrection and the life. Jesus shows us God's power over creation, power over sin and death. In Jesus Christ alone, we come to know God's will, his heart and mind in salvation. Jesus Christ is the one who died for sin, and there is salvation in no one else. The living and the true way. And Jesus reveals that to us. Some people see that there is something different about Jesus. They know there's something unique in his teaching. People can perceive that Jesus is a prophet, but yet still blind in their sin, still dull in their understanding. They have not yet seen God nor understand salvation in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ also acts as a prophet in his opening of our eyes and hearts. Just as Jesus opened the eyes and the understanding of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, not just opening up the scripture, not just impressing them by showing how all of scripture would point to Jesus, but their eyes and hearts opened to see and know and love Jesus. And so Christ reveals to us the way of salvation by opening our eyes and understanding through the Word, by his Spirit working in us. Friends, we need our blindness changed to sight. We need our dead hearts made alive. We need dull minds enlightened. Jesus Christ reveals God to us. Jesus Christ reveals salvation to us. He is the supreme prophet. He reveals God, salvation to us. Then secondly, Christ Jesus also reconciles us to God. He reconciles us to God. Jesus is our Redeemer as a priest. As a priest, he represents us before God. The Shorter Catechism, answer 25, says, "As a priest, Christ offered himself up once as a sacrifice for us to satisfy divine justice and to reconcile us to God, and he continually intercedes for us." Look back at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. "After making purification for sins, he sat down." Jesus is continually set before us as the last, complete, perfect sacrifice for sin. Back in the Old Testament, we have the role of the priests. They were those who served in the tabernacle and in the temple. They represented the people before God. They were mediators, go-betweens, How could a guilty, sinful people ever approach a holy, righteous God? They couldn't. Nobody can come before God. And so God provided the way for them to do so. God provided priests to represent the guilty, sinful people before the holy, righteous God. Jesus Christ is the priest who represents us. Back in the Old Testament again, in representing the people, the priests were to offer the sacrifices. They were responsible for ministering and serving before God, for preparing and setting out the offerings, for taking the blood of the sacrifices and sprinkling it on the altar. The reason why the sacrifices were necessary is because of sin. See, sin and guilt, they deserve punishment and death. Our blood is demanded from us. And yet God, so very, very graciously, provided a way for the people to come before him through the sacrifice, through a substitute, another taking their place. And so there was the animal sacrifices, where the blood was shed on behalf of the people. The people would place their hands on the animal as a sign that the animal was taking their sin, going to go and represent them as the guilty party. And then it would take the place of punishment and go through death, its blood being shed. God must punish sin. His justice demands it. His righteousness requires it. There must be punishment. And so the substitute would represent the people. But in the Old Testament, there was something very imperfect and incomplete about the sacrifices and even about the priests themselves. They had to continually make sacrifice. One was not enough. Day after day, month after month, year after year. Not just that, but the priests themselves, they also had to make purification for their own sin first. So not only were the animal sacrifices imperfect, but the priests were imperfect. They too were guilty men before a holy, righteous God. And so they were imperfect mediators. And not just that, these priests had a habit of dying like all of humanity. And so they would have to be replaced. And replacing them were other guilty men, carrying out the same sacrifices year after year after year. Then we come to Jesus. Jesus isn't like them. Here is one who's perfect, without sin. Here is a perfect representative between broken human beings and the eternal God. And he's perfect because he is God. The perfect representative for us before God is one who is divine, but also one who's taken on our form, our nature. Here is the God-man perfectly representing us without sin. A perfect mediator. One who can stand in the gap between God and man. And more than that, he offered up himself. Not an imperfect sacrifice, but he offered up a perfect sacrifice once for all. His blood shed for our sin. His death is the payment that our sin has to make. He is the Lamb that Abraham offered up in the place of Isaac. He is the lamb whose blood was shed in the Passover. He's every last offering and sacrifice poured out in the tabernacle and then later the temple. They were all shadows pointing forward to the one who's perfect, Jesus Christ. A willing, perfect, everlasting priest. We sang from Psalm 118. This was the hymn that Jesus and his disciples used after the Last Supper, before going out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Let me read for you again some verses from this hymn. God is the Lord, who unto us has made light to arise. Bind to the altar's horns with cords the festal sacrifice. Jesus is singing those words. And he is saying, bind me to the altar. Bind me to the place of sacrifice. Lord, take my life for theirs. Jesus made purification for our sin. Do you know that satisfaction has been made before God? Through Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to God. God's righteous anger at our sin is satisfied because Jesus Christ took it there on the cross. Our sin placed on his shoulders, his blood shed in our place. Satisfaction for sin has been made. Hebrews describes Jesus as our great high priest. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies. And there before the Ark of the Covenant, he would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice, making peace before God on behalf of the people. Jesus Christ, on the great Day of Atonement, went into the very presence of God with the finished sacrificial work when he died on the cross. His blood shed for the remission of sin. That means for us, there's no more condemnation for sin. Our guilt has been transferred to Jesus. He suffered the penalty due to us. There's no more sacrifice needed. Once for all, complete, finished. And yet Jesus also still works as priest. Now in heaven, he intercedes for us. He offers up prayers for us. His finished work is in the presence of the glory of God the Father. The new and the living way has been opened up for us that we might enter through Christ, our representative, and come before God. And there before God the Father, our great high priest, praying for us. Today, if you are one of his, he is praying for you, strengthening you, representing you. We don't come to God through any other way. We don't come through any other human being. We don't pray to God through dead saints. We don't make confession to God through men on earth. We don't receive forgiveness from God through other people. It is through Jesus Christ alone. He and he alone is priest. He and he alone is the one who represents us before God the Father. There is only redemption through Christ Jesus. He is our Redeemer in his priestly role, both in his lowering himself to the point of death and in his exaltation to heaven's glory, where he intercedes for us and prays for us. Jesus reveals to us the will of God in salvation as prophet. He reconciles us to God as our representative, our great high priest. And then lastly, Christ Jesus reigns as God. Christ Jesus reigns as God. He is King. We considered this last week with Christ's exaltation, and so I don't want to spend too long on it this morning. Just to say that we should never tire of hearing that Jesus is King. Jesus is the one who is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's what Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says. He is the one who has a name more excellent than all others. Verse 4. Jesus is the one who is over all things. He has the name that every knee must bow to. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, we're given these seven ways that Jesus is supreme. The number seven is, of course, a number of perfection in Scripture. And I don't think that's any coincidence. And then in the rest of chapter 1, we have seven Old Testament references. Again, perfection, and certainly I don't believe coincidence. We're being told through the inspired words and through the inspired structure of Hebrews that Jesus is the perfect one, the full, the final one, the supreme one, the one who is superior over all, the Son of God, worshipped and adored. The one whose throne is forever and ever in verse 8. The eternal one whose enemies will one day be put underneath his feet. Verse 13. Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning. He is King and Lord. He's the Son of David, whose throne is forever, the one promised and eternal. He is the Lamb who's seated on the throne, the righteous King and Judge. Shorter Catechism, answer 26 says, as a king, Christ brings us under his power. He rules and defends us, and restrains and conquers all his and our enemies. Friends, he is the one who has conquered sin and death for us. He died and rose again. He is today seated at the right hand of God the Father. And so we are either in his kingdom or we are outside his kingdom. We are either those who bow the knee to King Jesus, or we are those who will come under his judgment. We are either his subjects today, as we've been brought under his saving power in redemption. He either rules us as our saving king, or we are those who will have to endure his righteous judgment for all eternity in hell. Jesus is our Redeemer, in that he rules over us. He's brought us into his eternal kingdom. And he protects us. He keeps us. The Catechism says he defends us and rules us. Do you know that the King upholds you in his righteous power? He keeps you secure. He will never let you go. If you are in his kingdom, then you are saved eternally. And he defends you. And he subdues your enemies because they are his enemies. One day we will have to meet that enemy of death. We will have to come across it and go through the valley of the shadow. But as we meet death, we meet it as a defeated foe, a defeated enemy. We know that because Jesus reveals it to us. because he's the king on the throne, because he's the one who took the punishment in our place. Jesus reveals to us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the prophet. Jesus shows us that he has reconciled us to God by representing us. And he prays for us and intercedes for us in heaven. He is our great high priest. And he's defeated the enemies, risen and seated at the right hand of God. All things are beneath his feet. And he keeps us and protects us in our salvation. How is Jesus your Redeemer this morning? Well, he is your prophet. He is your priest. He is your king. And his throne is forever and ever. And his name will endure always. Amen.